message today. Let's have a seat. Have a seat. We're going to talk about integrity. Why would you talk about integrity? Well, I believe every man is equipped to walk in integrity. And it's those times when you need to walk in integrity, when you need to listen about integrity. It's when you actually really need to do it, because God is leading you to do that type of stuff. So men of God need to walk in with integrity. And if you hadn't been in that position before, and I know I haven't in my life, you got to start. Doesn't matter what you do. It's kind of like a diet. You know, you got to start. You got to start somewhere. Let's start today. We always keep waiting for the tomorrow. It's Monday. Let's start dieting tomorrow. Let's start walking. Let's start working out. I'm getting a membership, and you go to that gym maybe 3 times throughout the month. And next thing you know, you're still bloated. Done that many of times. Walking in integrity. We're going to be reading out of Psalms 101. But when we're talking about having a seat and people pulling up a chair, you know, we've alluded to confessing your faults one to another so that you may be healed. And the thing about it is that we got to make sure we're there to minister, not to monitor. There's a difference, because a lot of times people are there just to monitor and listen to what you have to say and then take it back to other people when you should be ministering. Having a seat is about ministering healing, ministering salvation, ministering deliverance, ministering help, ministering in any way that the Holy Spirit has led you to minister. But when it becomes about monitoring, you're not there for them. You're there for someone else. So we want to minister when we're sitting down, when we have people confessing. We don't want to have to use manipulation in order to coerce someone into saying anything. I don't have to come up with a phony story in order to tell somebody else something just to get information out of them. That's why they confess their faults. You confess your faults. If I call someone up and I confess a fault or what have you, they didn't have to get me to do that. It's something that I needed to do in my own strength, for my own walk. One of the biggest confessions and things that I probably have right now that I'm dealing today is sometimes I want to just bust ahead to the white meat shows. Literally, I'm serious. I struggle with that. I fight with that every single day because I know what that person or that individual does. And I fight with that. That's a big time struggle. But thank God that we can walk in the counsel of the wise. See, here's the thing. You can have familiar people in your life. You can have people that love the Lord and in every which way. But sometimes a stranger's voice will come from a familiar body because they'll give you the wrong information. You know, if I go out seeking everything, you know, and look and seeking other people and try to get them to say what I want them to say, man, I would do that. That would be the wrong advice. That would be the wrong counsel. You want somebody that's going to counsel you based upon the Word of God. Hey, you can't do that, bro. That's not the way to go. The Bible says to love. The Bible says to forgive. I know that, but, okay, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to Richard over here. Richard got something to say. I said, what do you think? Dude, you can't do that. You got to walk in love. You got to forgive. I said, forget what Richard is saying. Let me see what Randy's going to say. He's got some guns. Yes, you do too? My goodness. Staying away from your house. I see why you in line now, huh? Well, Randy said, Brother Tim, you got to walk in love. You got to learn to forgive. You got to just keep on moving and trust God. No, I don't want to hear that. See what Dustin has to say. And they keep saying the same thing. See, that would be God's voice, God's words, speaking through them in order to minister to me. But yet, I can continue to go after every person until I hear what I want to hear, because that's what my flesh wants to hear sometimes. And that would be the wrong direction. Blessed are those who walk in the counsel of the godly, the wise. So it's important that when we have that seat, we're there to minister. We're not there to coerce. We're not there to manipulate. We're not there to insinuate. We're not there to imply. We're there to listen. Because the Bible does say, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And we're there to help. Open up your Bibles to Psalms 101, if you would. It says, Lord, I will sing about your faithful love for me. My song of praise will have your justice as its theme. I'm trying my best. This is David talking. This is not just David the shepherd. This is King David. He's saying, I am trying my best to walk in the way of integrity. Has anybody ever had that struggle before? I'm trying my best. I'm just trying to do what I know to do. Father God, I want to do what I want to do. But sin is right there with me. I want to do the right thing, but sin is right there with me. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best to get the baseboard finished. I'm trying my best. I got a good woman. A good wife. You need you a good wife that when you're driving and paying attention to how fast you're driving, and she's on her phone, and your seat warmer goes from 3 to 1, she reaches on over and presses it for you. That's a good woman. Warming it up. And just keeps on going. Especially in my own home. There were times when I didn't know how to pray. I was actually fearful of praying. But here's a pastor's daughter. I went to church, but my goodness, I didn't pray much. I'm introverted. I can pray under my breath pretty good. I pray the best prayers under my breath. But when I had to pray for my family, that was a challenge. But you have to start somewhere. But I need your help. Boy, that's a good time to say, Lord, I need your help. I'm wondering, Lord, when will you appear? Lord, help me. Help me. I need your help. I need your help in walking in integrity. I need your help on dealing with these kids. I need your help to be a good man for my wife. I need your help to be a good woman for my husband. I need your help. My coworkers are getting on my last good nerve. I need your help. To keep my eyes from going everywhere. I need your help from talking about everybody else's business. I need your help to walk in integrity. People say there's no sin that is greater than the other. I don't believe that. There are sins that are worse than others. God has a list. In Proverbs 6. And the worst one is the abomination to the Lord is someone who sows discord among the family of faith. That's the worst one. Gossip is listed about maybe over 150 times in the Bible. Sexual immorality about 50 times. Drinking about 30 times. That is the number one right there. And we don't realize that we can't make an impact in the kingdom of God when here come talks a lot Thomas. Who's going to want to share anything with them? Seriously. When we constantly got everybody else's business in mind, it's like nobody wants to. Hey, psh, zip it. Psh, don't say anything. They coming. and just be short with them. Give them short answers or what have you. It's hard. And even if they're being genuine, maybe they turn over a new leaf. Maybe they turn their hearts to God, but still there's going to be that time where, well, everybody doesn't want to hear what I have to say because I'm bold and I'm righteous and I just preach the word. Nah, you just talk a lot. Nobody wants to hang with me because you talk a lot. You gossip. You realize that the Bible does say this among your friends. If you're a gossiper among your friends, that is the one good reputation you can never regain back. Being a gossiper. Any other sin you can regain back. Paul was a murderer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. But if you're known as a gossiper, that's like the worst thing you can do. But God's grace can restore you. We just don't want to leave that up there hanging. But thankful for his grace. But Lord, teach me to set a watch over my mouth. To speak well of others. Teach me how to be mute like Pastor Tim in ninth grade for the whole year. He says, I refuse to gaze on that which is vulgar. I refuse to gaze on that which is vulgar. We got our phones. We got our iPads. Things that come up. Wait a minute. Was that Bathsheba? And sometimes we can get caught up in it. I've been caught up in it before. I despise works of evil people. And anything that moves my heart away from you, I will not let evil hold me in its grips. Go, stay on that one, please. I despise works of evil people. What's your circle like? Is it filled with godly or the evil? That's self-evaluation. I don't even know your circle, so. I despise the works. David was like, I'm to the point to where God is you. I'm only going to set my eyes on you. My attention is about you. I just want to do what you want me to do. And sometimes we got to get there. If we're not there, we got to get there. I will not let evil hold me in its grips. Evil men will have you do things that are immoral that will move your heart away from the things of God. As we know, bad company will corrupt what? Good morals, good character. It'll corrupt. It'll get you to the place to where you're doing things that we shouldn't be doing. No matter how old you are. There's a saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your what? Future. That's important. Get with some godly friends. There's a difference between hanging around with people who love God and fear the Lord and want to walk blameless before the Lord. And then there are people who will respect and fear men. There's two totally different things. Because those men that will fear God will do what's right in the eyes of God. But those men that will fear men don't care what God has to say. And they will do whatever it is they want and think that they're untouchable. And the reality of it is, they really are touchable. God can touch them. I said, so it's important that we just make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord. Sometimes you're going to have to stay away from them, kick them out of your life. It could be for a season. It could be for a year. It could be for a few years. But I guarantee you it's going to be something that's going to be good for you. Really. Just stop meeting with them. If it's getting you to the place to where you're going home and it's stirring you up in every which way, and then you, I would say, going off on your spouse or your parents or what have you, and it's coming from that. My parents would know. Now, all the parents out there, help me out with this. You knew when your kids were hanging around with somebody else with an attitude, and they came home with that attitude, and they tried it on you. Not today. The devil is a lie. You were hanging around with so-and-so. Yeah, you did. That's exactly what they do. That's exactly what they say. And you know that. Because that bad company will corrupt those good morals, those values, those principles that you placed inside your own children. David chose to hang around with the people who couldn't be corrupted. And I like that. That's your choice. Nobody can choose that for you. You have that choice. You have that right. You have that power. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, self-discipline, self-control, what have you. He gave that to you. You don't have to hang with them. I can't tell you how many times I've seen young people get into politics, and then they want to win the world, and then next thing you know, they get corrupted with everyone there. The wrong friends, they want to please people, they want to do this, and next thing you know, they become irrelevant, and they're controlled. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And the table that God is preparing for us, for those who want to put his will, his word, and his purpose before our very own. It's going to be his will, his word, and his purpose. Not mine, not Pastor Brandon's, not Tom. These are men of integrity. I love them. But it's going to be his will, his word, and his purpose, and not ours. And I love that. Verse 4 says, every perverse and crooked way I have put away from my heart, for I will have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Yeah, that means sometimes when I dash, I watch movies. One of them I was watching, Remember the Titans, and there was another one. I think I was watching Guess Who. So Kristen was like, you've been watching Guess Who? I said, yeah, been quoting it. Sometimes I got to put that away and just stay focused with God and what he wants. Doesn't matter what you have done yesterday. Give it to God and put it away. Give it to God and put it away. Doesn't matter. Let every name that professes Jesus put away every evil thing that may trip them up from time to time. So when we talk about have a seat, two things. Are you there to minister? Are you there to monitor? Remember, religious leaders watched out for what Jesus was doing. They monitored him. Find out what he said, find out what he was doing, just so they can blow it up and make it out to be bigger than what it was. They monitored every move he made. And here's the thing. Jesus says the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against who? The church. And sometimes we can get all worked up over the enemy and operating through somebody else, and all they got is a little picket fence. Jesus said the gates of hell will not be able to prevail, and they're holding up a defense against you. That's not going to work. It's not enough. Because you have more power, more love, and a sound mind operating in you. And they're over here, defense. No. You're bigger than that. You're better than that. Every perverse way. David and Jesus didn't make time for them. Neither should you. verse 5, it says, I will silence those who secretly want to slander my friends, and I will not tolerate the proud and the arrogant. You know, in the middle of the word pride is I. They make it, it's not really about you, it's about themselves. These aren't just standards for leaders. People will read this for leaders and stuff, but this is for believers. Sometimes you're going to have to unsubscribe to those news. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 3:3, talks about that in the last days, people will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Addicted to it. I mean, they're waiting for news to come in their news feed on their timeline or their email or on their text and be like, well, I heard what Greg was doing. Well, Greg wasn't doing it. Greg was actually helping somebody, but you made him out to be somebody who was out there boasting about their works. No, he wasn't doing that. He was doing a good thing for God. But people will become addicted to it. They will want to hear it. They will want to listen to it. They subscribe to it. I unsubscribed a long time ago. Hit that subscribe button. I didn't know I got Yahoo account. You can unsubscribe to email. I used to have to scroll all the way down to the bottom, look at the little fine print, and there's an unsubscribe. No, they got it now set up to where you could just unsubscribe to all of those things. And I'm like, that's a whole lot better. Trash, trash, trash. And that's exactly what we need to do when it comes to people in the body of Christ. Not trash them, trash the news. Well, if that is going on, well, praise God, we're just going to pray for them and believe God to help them. I literally have people monitoring me. Literally. I go to conferences, there's people talking about me. Literally. Go to games, monitoring me. Well, hope you like what you see. Take a good look. I'm not going to make me feel uncomfortable. I'm too old for that. I ain't got no time for those games. And sure enough, there would be people trying to say things based upon how all of those eunuchs are. And the thing about it is, sometimes people can become obsessed. Your haters can become so obsessed into trying to destroy your life, they don't realize that they created an idol in their life. Because you're on their mind 24/7. And they created this idol in their own life in order to get back at you. David said, I will not tolerate the proud and the arrogant. And here's the thing. They don't just monitor me. They monitor you. So I break every monitoring spirit off of this church right now in the name of Jesus, that every wicked scheme, every device that they use will just fall dead. Every plot that they plan will blow up right in their face, because you don't have to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. You want a good look? Take a look. That every false word of God will be met by the truth of his word, and that the Holy Spirit will give you discernment whenever the enemy is trying to take advantage of you. When you walk into the room, you're going to know who's monitoring you. You step in that room with boldness, they'll shut up. They'll be quiet. Literally. They will try to mention a certain person's name to me, thinking that it would trigger me. But it doesn't trigger me. Why? Because I already dealt with it. Next time you use that name, here's the thing. Call them up, have lunch, and y'all can talk about how God whooped you both. Amen. Verse 6. That's my loving side right there. That's besides doing all the other stuff. It says, my innermost circle, those who are closest to me, will only be those I know are pure and godly. They will be the only ones I allow to minister to me. Your innermost circle will be the only ones that you allow to monitor you or minister. Minister. So that's why it's good to walk in the counsel of the godly. That's your choice. That was David's choice. You allow the people that you want. You set that to allow. If you trust them, you set that tone. Don't allow somebody else to set that for you. That's a trap. Oh, this guy would be good. Yeah. They over here trying to monitor you. Go ahead and spill your guts. They're just going to run it right back to them. You choose your friends based upon the word. If they have godly standards. You know, if you want to be a 10 in your life, you can't keep running around with sixes all day long. You got to get with some tens. You got to get with those nines. Okay? If you want to elevate your life, you're going to have to get with people who are walking. And I'm not talking about self-proclaimed, because we can all self-proclaim and be thinking, I got it all going on. I got it going on, when you really don't. Tosiah gave a great word to my wife. She went and helped. Went to Emporia Christian. Went. She does not know how to rest. She went and made all these meals and everything else and, you know, helped Tosiah out and packed her freezer with meals and stuff. What a great mom. Tosiah gives her all this praise on Facebook and stuff. And then later on, oh, Dad, you're okay too or what have you. That's like, well, I didn't help. I mean, rightfully so. And then I put something, I said, both of y'all tripping. And then I put sour cream or barbecue. And then nobody responded to that. Well, what does that mean? I'm all that in a bag of chips. Sour cream or barbecue, which one you want? They didn't get it. Yeah, that's why I didn't respond. Because you would have said something stupid like that. Yeah, that's true. Those who are committed to the word of God, not the word of everyone else, and then try and counsel you based upon what they heard. The godly. Those who I put around me will be pure and godly. Remember, a stranger's voice will sometimes come in a familiar body. Forgive them. I mean, contrary to popular opinion, you don't have to keep a Judas around in your life. We're going to talk a little bit about that in communion, but Jesus loved Judas to the very end. But Judas was there to fulfill prophecy. Judas was toxic, though. And Jesus dealt with it the right way, and that's the way we should be dealing with it, too, as well. And the thing about it is that when toxic people can no longer control you, they're going to do two things. They'll try to control the way people see you, and they'll try to control you through other people. You there to minister, or are you there to monitor? Forgive them, love them, pray for them, bless them. If you need to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. And then drop them off and keep going. Because the Lord is taking you somewhere else. It ain't got to be this mean stuff here. They want you to go with them 1 mile, you go two. And then drop them off. That's okay. God has something better for you. Verse 7, it says, there's no room in my home for hypocrites, for I can't stand chronic liars who flatter and deceive. Listen, lying is demonic. Pornography is demonic. And lying is demonic. You know the third thing in that? And I'm going to say, I said, politics is demonic. Ooh. We don't want to go there, do we? But it is. The spirit behind it. Do they lie? Do they slander one another? Do they sow discord? Do they have false witnesses that will come out and speak lies? Do they plot evil against each other? Do they shed innocent blood? Are they proud and arrogant? No, politics is great. The spirit behind it. And we don't understand that even when somebody, if they watch pornography and they brought it into the marriage bed, the church has brought politics and brought it into the bride of Christ. Same spirit. Doesn't mean you can't talk about the leaders and praying for them and standing with them and wanting the best, and you want people who will be righteous, that will stand for the truth of God's word, and you're standing for moral values and every which way. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the dirtiness behind it. Churches have become mafias, not ministry. That part I don't like. I don't care for. I mean, if you don't like it, you can email me at getonoutofhere.com. Not going to give you my email address. No, it's fine. Verse 8. It says, at each and every sunrise, I will awake to do what's right and put to silence those who love wickedness, freeing God's people from their evil grip. I will do all of this because of my great love for you. At each and every sunrise, integrity starts early in the morning. But it doesn't just have to start there. It can start right here, right now. We can always hit that reset button. It's called repentance. Lord, I didn't pay my bills on time. Listen, you don't have to wait to the third notice until you pay that bill. I found that out the hard way. You can pay it the first time. You can pay it even beforehand. You know that? You can even break it up in two-month payments. I mean, you can do two payments at one time within a month. What? Who would do something like that? People who are walking in integrity. What about those people that try to monitor me? I want you to do. It don't matter what they do. What they say, what they're going off of. They could be going off of something that happened 15, 20, 5, 3 years. It doesn't matter. You keep sowing integrity. What happens after that? Don't stop. What happens after that? Don't stop. Why? Because there's spiritual laws that are at work. They're called what? Sowing and reaping. Thank God for that. And those who sow to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction, but those who sow to please the spirit will reap eternal life. Don't ever stop sowing integrity. Start today. And you're going to see the fruit of it. Maybe not next season. Maybe not the season after that. But don't grow weary in doing good. You keep sowing integrity. You're going to start seeing God bring people into your life that can help you with your business. Help you with those loans. Help you with your marriage. Help you with your friends. Help you to get to the next level in life. Don't you ever stop sowing integrity. But you don't know. I don't care. I don't care. God ain't worried about it. Why should you? He's not worried. Why are you worrying? You have all your haters out there. They're hating on you, but they're watching you. Hating on you. Listen, scripture says that the wealth of the wicked is laid for the just. Let them keep making money. Let them keep prospering. And then God will put it on their heart to write you a check. And they'll be like, I don't understand why I'm writing this to you. I don't even like you. That's all right, brother. But there's two L's in that million. No, I didn't say 100. I said 100,000. 100,000, write that out, not 100. They ain't going to take that out the bank. 100. And you sell that for the kingdom. You build those water wells. You open up those businesses. You clothe those people that need it. You help furnish some of those homes that need it. You help rebuild people's porches and things of that nature. Why? Because they hate you. You don't have to lose 1 ounce of sleep because somebody hates you. I saw Z's, and my wife can tell you that. Sometimes she has to get up on the couch. I was like, I got to get better at this because I do sleep on the couch. I don't know if that's, I was doing that before I went to the hospital. But I started doing that even more afterwards because I snore. So I lay on my side. I don't snore. Lay on my back. I'm out. So there was one morning where she was up 5 o'clock in the morning, went up to the couch. I was like, I'd rather just be on the couch than have you on the couch. So sometimes I'll just lay on the couch. I always lay on the couch before my Sunday message. Always. Because I'll get up in the middle of the night and start typing. Start preaching. Start worshiping. But all your haters, those monitors, they still monitoring you. If you're a monitor, there's that reset button. And God loves you. He loves you very much. But if you don't hit that reset button, you're going to burn in the pit of hell. No, I'm just playing. That option is always there. That grace. His loving kindness is there. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And we thank you, Lord, that we can continue to minister to those who need it. Father, help us to minister throughout our lives, Father, because we are the light that you have called us to be. And we thank you for the anointing that operates in each and every person in this place. Whether they're out there in the field, whether they're in their offices, Lord, in their classrooms, Father God. We thank you that the people that you send across their path will be ministered to with loving kindness and faithfulness and gentleness. Because your word says that a gentle answer will turn away wrath. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.